brought to you by Penguin.
This House is Haunted by John Boyne, read by Harry Hayes. Chapter 1. London, 1867. I blame Charles Dickens for the death of my father. In tracing the moment where my life transformed from serenity to horror, twisting the natural into the unspeakable, I find myself seated in the parlour of our small terraced home near Hyde Park, observing the frayed edges of the hearth rug and wondering whether it might be time to invest in a new one or try to repair it myself. Simple, domestic thoughts. It was raining that morning, an indecisive but unremitting shower, and as I turned away from the window to catch my reflection in the looking-glass above the fireplace, I grew disheartened by my appearance. It was true that I had never been attractive, but my skin appeared paler than usual, my dark hair wiry and unkempt. There was a certain hunched aspect to my shoulders as I sat, my elbows propped upon the table, a teacup positioned between my hands, and I tried to relax in an attempt to correct my posture. I did something foolish then. I smiled at myself, hoping that a manifestation of contentment would improve the rendering, and was startled when I noticed a second face, much smaller than my own, staring back at me from the lower corner of the mirror. I gasped, a hand to my breast, then laughed at my folly, for the image I observed was nothing more than the reflection of a portrait of my late mother that was pinned to the wall behind my chair. The mirror was capturing both our likenesses side by side, and I did not benefit from the comparison. For Mother was a very beautiful woman, with wide, bright eyes, where mine were narrow and pallid. A feminine jawline where mine tended towards harsh masculinity, and a slender build where my own had always felt outsized and absurd. The portrait was a familiar one, of course. It had been hanging on that wall for so long that perhaps I never really noticed it any more, in the way that one often ignores familiar things like seat cushions or loved ones. However, that morning her expression somehow captured my attention, and I found myself lamenting her loss anew, despite the fact that she had passed from this world to the next more than a decade before, when I was little more than a child. And I wondered then about the afterlife, about where her spirit might have settled after death, and whether or not she had been watching over me all these years, taking pleasure in my small triumphs and grieving for my numerous mistakes. The morning fog was beginning to descend on the street outside, and a persistent wind was forcing its way down the chimney, trekking a path along the loose stonework within and diminishing only slightly as it entered the room, forcing me to wrap my shawl more closely around my shoulders. I shivered and longed to return to the warmth of my bed. I was pulled out of my reverie, however, by a cry of delight from Father, who was sitting across from me, his herrings and eggs half eaten, scanning the pages of the Illustrated London News. The issue had been lying unread since the previous Saturday, on a small table in that same room in which we sat, and I had intended on discarding it that morning, but some impulse had made Father decide to glance through its pages over breakfast. I looked up in surprise. It sounded as if something had passed his throat the wrong way, but his face was flushed with excitement, and he folded the paper in two, tapping it several times with his fingers as he passed it across to me. "Look, my dear," he said. "The most wonderful thing." I took the newspaper and glanced at the page he had indicated. The article seemed to have something to do with a great conference that was scheduled to take place in London before Christmas, in order to discuss affairs related to the North American continent. I read through a few paragraphs, but quickly became lost in the political language, which seemed designed both to provoke and intrigue the reader simultaneously, before looking back at Father in confusion. He had never before shown any interest in American matters. Indeed, he had professed belief on more than one occasion that those who lived on the opposite side of the Atlantic Ocean...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?